Hey, everyone. For this week's culture segment, I'm going to introduce you to John Finch. He is not only the producer and director of The Father Effect, which is a short feature film, but he also heads the Father Effect Ministry, which kind of addresses father wounds in men and women and helping folks heal. In fact, there is a book with a lot of this content as well called The Father Effect, Hope and Healing from a Dad's Absence. And this is kind of, you know, we are around Father's Day, so not to just be a big downer about fathers, but the fact is, y'all are millennials out there, most of you, and you're probably the biggest generation for dealing with fatherlessness as well as just an absence presence of the father in the home, whether that is physically or whether that is you just didn't have a dad around growing up. So, John, welcome to the Boundless Show.
Thanks for having me, Lisa. Great to be on your show.
Yeah. Well, we're going to jump in. I mean, a lot of this and what you have talked about in The Father Effect deals with your own story. And I obviously reference that it's Father's Day. What just tell us a little bit as an overview. What is Father's Day for you? Because not only, you know, are you a son, but a father as well. So what, you know, tell us what that looks like for you as a holiday, as you've celebrated it over the years.
You know, it's really just a reflection of, since I've become a dad, my own impact that I have on my girls and just the blessing that it is to be a dad. You know, really, really understanding the powerful and lifelong influence I have on my kids. Before I came to find forgiveness from my dad, it was a difficult holiday, a difficult day, if you will, because, you know, my dad had chose to commit suicide and abandon his family. And so it was a very bitter day for me and a day that I struggled with like so many others.
Yeah. And you actually tell the story, and I want you to get into it a little bit here, but I mean, it was literally, you know, you referenced your dad's suicide, literally a story that you think is bad, and then it just gets worse. I mean, it's honestly like, you know, to script this is, you know, this wasn't just like, oh yeah, my dad did, you know, X, Y, Z once, twice. I mean, it was really a difficult, difficult childhood overall for you. I think you referenced that your dad dropped you off at school. You were like 11 and kissed you goodbye. And then later that day took his own life. Talk about too, something happened 2 weeks prior to that that caused you to basically blame yourself for your father's suicide. Just talk about your home life leading up to that and what really kind of informed the way this went down.
Sure. So my dad, you know, was gone quite a bit. He was an absent father physically. And emotionally, even when he was there, he wasn't really engaged with me. So I, early on, just really clinged to my mom. You know, I was a mama's boy and not ashamed of it. Still am to this day. My mom's an angel on this earth. But just kind of grew up in that home of dysfunction when my dad was gone. And about 2 weeks before he died, I actually found the gun that I would later come to understand he used to kill himself. So for many, many years, I dealt with that guilt and shame of, well, maybe if I'd have said something, maybe if I'd have told somebody about the gun, you know, maybe none of this would happen. And so shame for me was a very, very difficult thing that I lived with for many, many years and at times still struggle with. It's something I think a lot of men and women deal with and can't get beyond, and that's something we're trying to help them do.
Yeah. Well, and it's not like, I mean, talk to us a little bit about your dad as you knew him, because it's not like he was just, you know, leader of the PTA and a Sunday school teacher, and then all of a sudden one day he's like, oh yeah, you know, maybe I'm just going to take my own life here. I mean, there was just a lot of troubled behavior and activity in your home. And didn't he actually get a notice that he was going to end up going to prison as a result?
Yeah, so he had gotten wrapped up with the mafia and actually got sentenced to about a year in prison for running a counterfeiting operation. And when he was released from prison, he had been going back and forth as he was in prison to testify against some of these other people. And once he got released, the FBI had approached us and said, hey, there's four men's names on a hit list, and the other three are dead. You're the only one still alive. So we actually went into witness protection program, and we were flown to Fort Knox and lived there for about a year under alias. So it was a very, very interesting time of my life. I was very small, a toddler, if you will. I was 2, 3, 4 years old.
Yeah. One of your one of the biggest, I think, takeaways, not only of the film, but the book that you've written and just your story, is this idea of a father wound. And I think it was, it's not like you just sat down and described and defined this for yourself. It actually took a moment and a conversation, I want to say on a golf course, to actually discover what this actually meant to you. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I was out golfing with a friend of mine, and we had been sharing some of the things that all of us men kind of struggle with. And at one point, he just turned to me and said, "Now, you grew up without a dad, didn't you?" And I said, "Yeah." And I went on to give him this amazing 10-minute explanation about how incredible my mom is. And as soon as I finished, he turned to me and said, "But was she a dad?" And it was at that moment that really I began to understand what growing up without a father really meant. And God really took that and started me on this journey, ultimately to find forgiveness for my dad.
Yeah. Well, and so this is going to sound totally weird and kind of counterintuitive, but I think it's something that has to be described almost for our audience. And that is, what, John, does a dad provide? Why was that such a jarring question for you? Because lots of people would say, hey, at least you had the love of a mom. You know, that's great. That's a lot more than some people have. But what uniquely do you realize now dads provide, and that you're even providing to your own girls?
You know, there's nothing like affirmation from a father for both a boy or a girl. For a girl to know that she's loved, she's cherished, she's valued. For a young man to know that he has what it takes, that he's doing a great job. That affirmation can only come from a father and have the significant impact that it does. You know, a mom can say all kinds of different things, but it means something different coming from a mom. You know, I talk about all the time, you know, my mom is an amazing mom and was for many, many years and still is, but she still didn't have the tools to be a dad. It's just like me. I'm a male. I don't know what it's like to be a mom, and I don't have the tools to be a mom. So it's very, very important that a father be able to speak those affirmations and confirmations over their kids.
Yeah. So it's one thing, I think a lot of us would like to be able to identify, maybe, you know, realize, oh, okay, so I didn't have my expectations met where my father was concerned, or just never had a dad, whatever. So let me just, you know, name it, address it, be done with it, move on. And you're basically saying, I know in your story, you realized that you were in a way kind of crafting some of the same patterns. Did that surprise you? And what did that realization look like?
It did surprise me, because I'd always referred to my dad as a coward. I didn't want to be anything like him. And yet I was becoming more and more like him. I had become a traveling salesman, and I was, in an essence, absent a lot from my own home. So, you know, connecting the dots for me, understanding that it was a generational thing, that my dad could only give what he had. And, you know, coming to find out that he grew up without a father, and that his grandmother, for the most part, raised him. So he didn't have that father figure in his life. And so how could I be so bitter, angry, and resentful towards a man who really didn't know how to be a dad?
So I'm guessing, though, John, that you couldn't just say one day, okay, well, glad I identified that. Now I'm just going to be different. So here I go out the door, and let me be healthy dad. How did you have to grow out of that and learn to forgive? What did that process look like, and the process of transformation in your own identity and subsequently your parenting and your acting as a dad?
You know what? It was quite the journey. And I tell people all the time, it's not a easy journey. It was a journey where I had to go and really do a lot of self-reflection. And I started going and seeing a Christian counselor, which I'm a huge advocate of. And my guy, Dr. Tom, just really walked me through that. It took about 3 months. And really, again, seeing, diving into a lot of my own issues and understanding that my behavior in so many ways was a reflection of the abandonment that I suffered at the hands of my father. So understanding that, and also just having conversations with other people, with other men and women, with other men specifically, understanding and knowing how to be a better dad, talking to them, you know, having those real, authentic conversations about the struggles that we all have. And I think that's where that true band of brothers comes in, and that's how we can all become better dads. So that was part of the journey, too, is really talking to a lot of other guys.
Yeah, and I do want to remind our audience, in light of what you just said, that we actually offer counseling here at Boundless.org and Focus on the Family. So, folks, if you just resonate with what John just said and you're like, you know what, I think I have some unaddressed stuff that's out there, just go to Boundless.org, search 541. That's the number of the show, and we will get you all the info you need to get that process started. So that's really interesting, John, because we often tell our audience, most of whom are single young adults, to say, you know, there's a lot of great groundwork that you can do in your life prior to getting into a relationship that may or may not lead to marriage and getting married, because we know that so many people just think, yeah, if I just get married, I'm going to start this whole thing over and a clean slate, and I'm not going to have to deal with issues. I'm just going to move on. And we know, of course, that that's not necessarily true. A lot of stuff comes back to us in that sense. But what would you say to that person who's out there now, who's a young adult, and basically you would say to them, what are some good questions they should ask of themselves, and even maybe red flags to look out for, to realize I may actually have some unresolved stuff and some undealt with issues that I probably need to start addressing? What are some good, just good ways to get the process started?
Really just looking at and thinking about how your own father impacted you, how he influenced your life, good, bad, or indifferent, and how that's molded and made you into the young man or young woman that you are today. And you know, back to the point about counseling, I'll tell you, I wish that all the pre-marriage counselors would really dive into this idea of a father relationship and help young men and women, as they start this new journey of marriage, really start to deal with it. I've got a pastor friend of mine who counsels hundreds of couples and individuals every year. And he said, John, after it's all said and done, almost everybody I deal with, whether they're dealing with addiction or whatever the issue, when I start to peel back the layer, it so many times comes back down to a father wound.
Yeah. You know, a lot of folks, it just reminds me of how many people say that their relationship with their own earthly father affects, either for good or for bad, their very relationship with God. Did that happen for you? And if so, in what way?
Absolutely. You know, I thought if my dad's not willing to stick around, that why would God stick around? Why would God care for me? There was a young man in the film that it's a great piece where he talks about pastors that are encouraging him to refer to God as Father. And he talks about the struggle of even being able to say the word Father because of what it represented in his life and his earthly father. So we as fathers, and your father is in so many cases a huge reflection of what you believe God to be.
Yeah. So you are now obviously a grown dude. You are a dad yourself. But how, I can only imagine that you still have to address and meet your needs as a son. How have you gone about doing that throughout your life, both when you were a kid, as you were a teen, and even now as an adult man, to, you know, that idea of sonship? What does that look like for you?
You know, I've really come to understand what that looks like as it relates to my Heavenly Father. Just understanding and knowing that He is my ultimate Father, that He's the perfect Father, that I can go to Him in any times of worry, struggle, doubt, fear, whatever that may look like. And I've also brought other men into my life that can help mentor me. You know, one of the biggest things that I've learned along this journey is to ask guys for help. to ask the older men, especially that have been there, done that, made all the mistakes, to just ask them, hey, can you mentor me? Can you show me what it looks like to be a godly father, and you know, really what that's all about? So really reaching out and asking for help, that's been a big piece of my journey, and really finding out what it looks like to be a dad.
Yeah. Have you found men, older men, to be receptive to that? Because I know a lot of the men in our audience have said, Lisa, I've tried to find guys in my church and they're all awkward or feel they don't have anything to offer, or, you know, stuff like that. Is it kind of maybe you have to go back and keep asking until someone says yes?
You know, I think if you're aware of those men in your church that seem to be that great dad and that loving, caring guy, you can pick those guys out, the ones that are not afraid to talk to others and are very open and extrovert, if you will. Being able to really zero in on those guys, I think, is important. You know, I think sometimes it's just young men and women are just afraid to ask, but I think you'd be surprised at those that will say yes if you only ask. So that's very, very important.
Yeah. And then just steer clear of the ones that look like jerks. Just be like, no, I'm not going to ask you. Whatever.
Yeah.
I don't want you to be my mentor, whatever. You have some work to do first. No, that's good.
Right.
All right. Well, I want to circle back around before we finish up and really have you address the whole idea of forgiving your own father. And like you said, even though you were a young boy, the ripple effect of his actions, both before he died and then in him taking his own life, that act had ramifications, basically, and probably still do, and even some generational implications. So what has forgiveness looked like for you? What does it look like today?
You know, forgiving my dad has radically changed my life in every way, as a man, husband, and father. Understanding, again, looking back at his story and God really giving me a compassion for my father, and knowing and seeing the generational curse, if you will, that was continuing down the line until I was going to be willing to step up and say, okay, that is no longer going to happen in my generational line. So for me, it has changed my life beyond what I ever imagined. And it's given me a life I never imagined. My relationship with my kids is different. My relationship with my wife is different. You know, the awareness that I walk in now about my own just power and influence that I have as a father, it's just a game changer. It's changed everything for me, and it's given me this freedom and healing that I always wanted and knew was out there, but just was so afraid to really go after.
Yeah, and I think you even said there's a sense of almost a likeness or a camaraderie with your dad, knowing that it was probably his father wound that drove him to make the decisions that he did. And kind of putting yourself in his shoes and seeing that, I think, is pretty powerful.
Absolutely. And really, that's the key piece. You ask while I go about the questions that I would put out there for young people to ask, and you know, it would be to really dig into their own history, their dad's dad. What was their dad's dad like? What was he like as a kid? How was he treated? You know, abuse is just so rampant. And so was he abused, and what are the effects of it? And so really starting to put that puzzle together is such an important piece, because I think that ultimately will give you a much better understanding of why your dad was the way he was.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, super, super great story of just redemption, almost, in a weird sense, reconciliation in your own relationship with your dad and with God himself. Folks, the book is The Father Effect, Hope and Healing from a Dad's Absence. We've been talking to John Finch. You can find out more about John and what he has going on at thefathereffect.com. And that's effect with an E, because know your English grammar, people. Come on. John, thank you so much for being part of this and being willing to share your story and to carry that on through the resources and the counseling that you provide through your ministry. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Lisa. And thanks again for having me.
Well, folks, again, if you want to get some help right now where you are in addressing some of the issues that you think may have been brought up as a result of hearing my conversation with John, go to boundless.org, search 541, that's our show number, and you will get both our phone number and our website address for our counseling department here at Boundless and Focus on the Family. We would love to help you and even give you a referral for a great approved Christian counselor in your area.